sustainability? Were they only doing that because they thought the employers were afraid of the buyers were going to step in and do something? Were they only doing it because they knew the Better Work Office was there and there was a quick follow-up? Did it not really lead to those sustained, improved, improvements in the workplace, that the sort of relational changes that, rejig things, or was just a quick fix again? What happened in the wake of that? What was up with the individual capacity of the stakeholders? The ILO is big on capacity development, but what does that even mean? Are we doing these jobs more effectively? Have we learned new ways and synergistic relationships for taking on these challenges? Or are we just doing it because someone is watching us? That's kind of where I left with this study. And there's also the forthcoming article in ILR Review in the spring on, it's called Voice in Supply Chains, and it's basically an account of that major project. I was presenting this work in 2017 at the ILO, at this Regulating for Decent Work conference, the same one where the screen just screened. It happens every 2 years in Geneva, and anyone can go if you have an interest in labor issues or decent work or the global world of work. It could be something for you. I was presenting this research in 2017, and that's where I met Deirdre McCann from Durham University. And she saw the work. She had a massive project at the time on unacceptable forms of work. You can look that up. It's like an 8-prong project with different modules dedicated to, you know, certain issues. And one of those modules was on labor standards enforcement. And it just so happened it was the one out of the 8 that was underdeveloped. And she needed kind of help, someone to come in and fill that, to develop that program a little bit more. And she also wanted to focus it in sub-Saharan Africa. So we forged this partnership. We were a couple of workshops in Durham where we applied for some big grants to do big projects. And both of those grants were multi-million dollar grant applications. They failed, but then we were successful in securing a grant from the Global Challenges Research Fund for less than 100,000 pounds, maybe even 50,000. But whatever it was a smaller scale grant, but it was to engage with this project on decent work regulation in Africa, focusing specifically on a pilot project of labor laws enforcement in South Africa and Lesotho. So you're getting like a lot of background here, right? So I hope it helps to contextualize the film. So now we've come to this project, and Deirdre's a little bit hands-off. Okay, where can we take it? Which is really fun as a researcher to be like, okay, team, like, here's where we're going with this. These are the questions I had lingering from my own work, and now someone else secured the funding. I have the platform for it. Let's go and do that. So we assembled a research team in South Africa and Lesotho, colleagues I had worked with over the years, and we met in Cape Town in April 2018. And it was a planning meeting. We said, look, we're sort of looking at what is the breakdown, what's the underlying stuff going on the surface that we can't quite seem to achieve sustainable improvements in labor conditions for workers. Things like, you know, a whole bunch of stuff popped up in that project, like the rise of cooperatives, you know, where you don't actually have to have formal regulation governing what's going on there, renaming your businesses, political corruption, frequent changeovers in government in Lesotho. So we had an amazing progressive labor commissioner who was coming to the meetings, really engaged, really on board with trying to make these improvements. But she is a minister who, that keeps turning over. And so there's no consistency in planning, or there's some corruption going on or what. But if you look online at Decent Work Regulation in Africa, it's a really great website that they've put together. You'll find some of the findings of that report, some of these underlying issues that were creating some blockades for people to really work together in this multi-stakeholder fashion to effect change. And I keep lingering on multi-stakeholder because I think if any of you follow in this literature on labor standards enforcement, this is kind of where we're at least I would argue. You know, we started with focusing on national laws in other countries, but then those aren't really upheld, and it's kind of spotty. So we say, okay, well, let's bring in the International Labor Organization and international labor standards, ratify the core conventions. But how do you monitor those? And does a worker really take a complaint to the ILO and go through that system? Do they really know, like, is that a process that's really utilized? Or by our codes of conduct, but what happened? Levi's and Gap say, hey, there's some green stuff coming out in the water here. Gap flies over, they fix it, or someone exposes them. Let me not say, like, clean clothes campaign or something points that out. They fly over, they fix it, they say they can take responsibility, they're in the limelight for a second, go away, there's green water coming in. You know what I mean? Like, it's sort of like these spotlight fixes. So the idea was that a multi-stakeholder approach was supposed to lead to changes that would actually last. Okay, this project kind of examines that. As part of the funding for this project, the Decent Work Regulation, Deirdre asked if we should make a film, because she also worked with this videographer, this production company, Dreamscope, Darren Hutchison. She had worked with him before on the other elements of her big project. So I said, that'd be great. Let's, like, give people a firsthand experience, get into the factories, go around the industrial areas, and just bring a human face to all of it. It's not this disparate thing that happens in the other side of the world, and now it's complex, I don't understand it, it's not really my thing. They're just people that are going to work, that hope to earn enough income to feed their kids, to send them to school, and to be normal human beings. Kind of with obviously not acknowledging fully the vast difference in some of the dynamics that we all encounter, sort of similar to what we might want. So this film is, so Rete Bile is a former factory worker. She was in the first focus group I conducted in May 2011, and she was dismissed from her job unfairly, and through the process of addressing that, became a union organizer. And she's helped me over the years to organize workers for the focus groups that we did. There were 55 with 425 workers. She has just been a helpful hand on the ground. She came to Durham when we had the meetings. She's been to Canada just for fun, I guess. We brought her over after there was like a severe tragedy in her family and something new. So she's a personal friend, and she's the one that narrates the story and takes you through some of what they living through on the daily life. We're going to watch the film, and then Nathaniel is going to offer some reflections and thoughts, and maybe ask some questions for me. And then after that, we're going to open it up to your inputs and thoughts and reflections.
Thank you.